What's that?
Sorry,
yeah, they're live here.
I'm tired too, but not bored. I'm so glad it's nice.
You're what?
I'm so glad it's nice.
That's nice, yeah.
My homework is a bit backed up, but I'm not tired.
Okay, so I'm going to write up here, no second exam. In class.
First or
final, I can't, right? Should say final. We can put the 15%. Does that make sense, you think? You think they'll get that, those guys who are not here? Yeah, right. Okay, so today, what we want to do today is I want to look at just a couple of methods of analyzing differential pair amplifiers, just one more method of analyzing a differential pair amplifier, and I'm going to use FETs this time. Last time we did BJTs, right? So we'll do FETs. That'll give you a little more practice with differential pair amplifiers, and then I want to show you a circuit that some of you guys in the lab, you're having this problem with the output voltage being gigantic and you got to go through 33 diodes to get down to whatever, right? Does that make sense? I mean, you've seen that problem, right? So I'll show you a little circuit that's in your book that, you know, you could use to drop that voltage down without 33 diodes and actually get the little gain out of it too, probably. So, then after that, if there's time left, the next thing we want to do is we want to go into feedback. Feedback is like, you know, you took this whole class in feedback, and I don't know how it is these days, but when I took feedback, it was kind of like I took this class in feedback and we learned all these theory things, but I couldn't really apply it to anything that I really wanted to. Specifically, I would like to apply it to electronics at least, right? You know, I mean, I could do any op-amp circuit, but I didn't really understand how feedback really, you know, the theory of feedback fit with that op-amp. I just knew if you put resistors in here and you analyze a circuit, you get this kind of a response, and this circuit does this, and that circuit does that, and they, you know, put them together to make cool things. But how does the theory of feedback tell you what you want to do on that op-amp? What kind of, what do you want to do if you want to make the input impedance lower, if you want to make the input impedance higher, if you want to make you know, all these different kinds of things, and how do you apply feedback in electronics, and how do you fit that theoretical framework that you got in feedback with something more practical? So I want to do that, and that'll be probably about the last topic of the quarter. And I think the last lab, you know, I'll have some little thing where you compensate your amplifier that you're building this time, and use some kind of feedback on it to make it into, you know, an amplifier that's got feedback more than any. That would be fine, a dead week, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be something that won't be like, maybe just fill in the blanks or something, you know, something easy as far as the write-up goes. So there's. we got the final coming up, but anyway. Okay, so let's look at differential. Differential pairs with with fats. What kind of fat would you like me to use? Our example, you pick what works. Okay, MOSFET. What kind? Enhancement, depletion, N-channel, P-channel? Okay, N-channel. Anybody else have any input?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, N-channel. What do you want, enhancement or depletion? Enhancement, okay. So, what I want to do is I want to do an example with we'll do an example design, because that's more what this class is supposed to be about, example design, and we'll use symmetry in the small signal model. So, here's the example. Here's the N-channel, enhancement, enhancement mode, MOSFETs. Design a differential amplifier. Now let's think about what kind of specs we can get. We should, on input impedance, what we should be able to get. Can we get high input impedance?
Yes.
Yeah. So you, generally, you want high input impedance on an op amp kind of thing, you know. So we'll just say our in differential greater than 10 mega ohms. Okay. So that shouldn't be hard to meet, right? Let's see. The gain, MOSFETs don't have as big a GM as some other things, yeah. So we aren't going to get as much gain. I think I'm going to say let's go for a gain of 10. Okay. So a differential. We'll say greater than or equal to 10, and the output impedance I'm going to say 100 ohms. Well, that'll probably require some second stages if we do that. I'm going to say, just to make it easy, let's just make it 10K. If we do 100 ohms, I'll need some current amplifiers after this, probably. Okay. And I think I'll close that guy down, because my battery's almost run down and I'm going to need that to get some data sheets. Get the MOSFETs. So let's first of all, let's draw a circuit diagram. So we're going to have VDD. This is our power supply. We can pick that. I'm going to make try a simple thing like this. I'll put a current source down here. You know how to make those out of transistors now. So this will be 2 capital I sub capital V.
Right.
And then we've got our inputs coming in here. This will be V plus, V minus. I'm going to call this RD. Here's V out. Okay, so if we look at this circuit, we're pretty sure we biased it correctly. I mean, if you look at it, I don't think there's any way, unless RD is too big here, that this thing is going to be in triode region. I mean, it would be this guy that would go in triode region. That guy could never go in triode region. Right? And if RD is too big, I can just make VDD bigger, and then I'm out of triode region, right?
You want to be in saturation.
You want to be in saturation, or what they call beyond pinch-off, right? Mm-hmm. Which means the top part of the FET needs to be pinched off, and the bottom part needs to be open, kind of thing, okay? That's beyond pinch-off. The top is pinched off, at the top of the channel is pinched off, it's depletion region, and then the bottom of the channel. So I don't think, you know, first thing you do is you think about the biasing. The biasing looks, we can bias this okay. I don't see any problems with biasing. The biasing is adjustable enough, there should be no problem. So we'll say, I'm going to say biasing looks okay. Looks plausible or possible. Okay, so now we have a circuit that we think will kind of work. What is the next step that we're going to do? We're designing this thing. How are we going to have to pick ID and RD, basically, right? How are we going to pick those? How do we get those? Yeah, depending on these specs over here, right? And these specs are small signal kind of specs, right? At least, kind of like, I mean, we'll use small signal model, actually. You know, you could use large signal model on this last day we used, we came out with the whole thing, right? Which reminds me, last day I was supposed to tell you, remember a few, last Friday or something, we did this current source, we took my favorite current source, and we tried to make it more like a Wilson. Well, I tried that out. I tried it out in 2 programs, one of them LT's Bison and another one a little more simple program. But I did in the simple program put in the the curve on the slope on those BJT curves. I put that in what was real for a transistor. And on the simulation that I got to work, which wasn't the LT's Bison, it was a simple one. On that one, it looked like it was about 3 times better or something. Not like the MOSFETs in the book. The example they had in the book is just really a whole lot better. So anyway, just an aside there. I could show you the simulation on my computer. We'll look at the computer in a minute when we're trying to pick our FET here. We'll check that out. So the thing we need to do is a small signal model here, because these are kind of small signal parameters, right? I mean, that's how you get these things, is you go to the small signal model. So making the small signal model, what do we do to make the small signal model here on this guy? You just got to replace the FETs with their small signal model, right? So, I mean, you put in the small signal model for the FET, which is just this thing, right? This is a current source, this is D, this is S, and this is GM, B, GS, and I'm going to make it VGS1 because I have the gate coming in here. This is the gate, and VGS is from here to here, right? That'll be VGS1. That's the one on the left. We'll call this Q1 here and Q2. Okay. So this is the FET, and this the drain goes up to VDD. What do I put VDD in the small signal model? Ground, okay, so this goes up to ground. So I'll just make a kind of a ground like that. Then I'll put in the RD here and the other FET. This is GM. Now, are the GMs, is this GM1 and GM2? Or are they both the same?
Shouldn't they be the same?
They should be the same, right. They should be the same. Because when I put the small signal voltage, V minus and V plus, to zero, then the voltage VGS, capital V sub capital GS, is the same for both of them, right? Which means that I'm going to have the ID on each of them that's going to be the same. I'm going to add, that's why this is 2ID.
What came first, like the idea of an op-amp, or like they made an op-amp because they had transistors?
Well, they did op-amps with tubes, so I'm sure it wasn't transistors, but...
Okay.
I think op-amps came because of feedback. Because op-amps are really useful when you have feedback. I mean, there was a kind of a need for them. You know, if you could look and see if you had a really, you know, high gain amplifier with a differential input, it would work really good in feedback kind of circuits. And once they saw that those were really handy, then they started building them, right? It's kind of like, you know, when we see something's really handy, then you start seeing it built everywhere, right? You know, everybody's got smartphones now because they're real handy, right? So, anyway, put the sources here. Oh, you did them in feedback, huh?
Yeah, the first week we had some, but we haven't done anything with electronic since.
Really? So you actually did do some feedback and op amps with feedback, huh?
That was going to be
really annoying with it, though, because people are like, yeah, you'll learn about these.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, so that's strange. Well, in the old days, we used to teach op amps in circuit analysis, but they keep pruning circuits back, making it easier and easier, you know. And so, you know, a number of years ago, Dr. Heisler started leaving them out. He asked me, do you have to have op-amps and circuits? And I said, yes, I need those guys. Those guys need to be good at that when they get to electronics. And so what he did was he drew a little triangle on the board, plus, minus, two little wires here, a wire there. This is an op-amp. I had to tell you because Frony needs it in circuits. So anyway. Yeah. So anyway, what do I do with this current source here? Yeah, so I'm just done, right? But I'm gonna make this current source more real for our analysis here. I'm gonna put in an R Norton here. I guess I need to put it in. Good idea. VGS. This is VGS2, right? Need a 2 there. And then this is V minus and this is V plus here, right? And really what I mean is from right here to right there and from right here to right there is the V plus, right? And I'm going to put in the R Norton here, okay? And I'm only doing this so you can see how this affects the common mode rejection ratio. Last day we kind of, a few days ago or something, we looked at that. And so somebody asked, I think Travis or somebody asked, what happened if you put this resistor in there? Why did we need a good source up here? So I'm going to call this R Norton. Okay. So there's the small signal model. And we could just go ahead and analyze that, okay? But I'd like to break this up into two things here. V out is going to equal A differential times V plus minus V minus plus A common mode times V plus plus V minus over 2, the average voltage. And really, it'll also be something due to the DC sources and output offset voltage. But since I'm using small signal model, that will be 0, right? Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to think about this and see if we could use just do this one separately from that one and use this idea of differential and common mode, because really a lot of things break up into this differential and common mode, and if you understand this, you can do a lot of different things. It's good for mechanical systems too. There's, I don't know if it's over here, but sometimes there's this, think it's here, but you've possibly seen that swingy thing, two pendulums with a spring. Ah, there it is, right there, yeah. and this thing has that same kind of property, because you see, here's the differential mode. It goes like that. Better not do that. Might be bad on the bulb. So that's differential mode, like this. Okay. And then here's common mode. Let's see. Okay, going together like this, and the other one is differential mode. Now, a lot of things have that same kind of property, okay? And it's very nice. These are actually what they call the eigenmodes of the system, the differential mode and the common mode, okay? And things work better in the eigenmodes than they do in the, they're simpler. They're just easier to analyze, okay? If you do this differential mode, it's uncoupled. That's what eigenmode means. It means uncoupled from the other ones, right? So you could know all there is to know about what's going on in this mode. You can start this and there's none of the other one, right? The initial condition, if you set them, so there's, and so these two are uncoupled, these two modes. And so this idea of differential and common mode happens anytime, pretty much, you have two things that are together, and those two things are coupled in some way, right? And so we have an amplifier with two inputs, so there's two things together, V plus and V minus, right? And generally, the inputs, come in the common mode and differential mode. Like in the church, we talked about the common mode noise. That was the stuff that they both picked up because they were both going side by side, the two wires, right? And the differential mode, that's what they picked up at the end with the microphone signal, right? So we'd like to amplify the differential and not the common mode. And generally, when you have eigenmodes, it comes from symmetries, okay? Physical symmetries in the system.
So it's
yeah, right. So if we think about this thing, we could analyze this in a more simple manner by just doing this one and that one, if we think about it, okay? So let's think about it and see if we can do that. So first of all, I'd like to do the common mode, okay? The common mode means height is like voltage. So this is V plus over here and this is V minus, okay? So the common mode means that they go up and down together, right? That means the differential mode is zero, is what I'm trying to say, is, I'm making V plus minus V minus equal to zero. So that means V plus equals V minus, and it goes whatever V minus does, V plus does.
Okay?
So if you look at this circuit and I make them go up and down like that, this is a very symmetrical circuit, right? And so you could say, look, if I V plus and V minus are equal, then VGS1 and VGS2 are equal, are they not?
Yes.
Okay. And if VGS1 and VGS2 are equal, then if I just kind of did either one side or the other side, I'd probably be okay. I mean, it means GMVGS1 and GMVGS2 are the same as well, right? And the only difference is this unsymmetry right here, and if I wanted to make it a symmetrical output, a totally differential thing, I could put another resistor up here, okay? And then take my output across here. Well, let's do it, I guess. I mean, we never said we had to have it a single-ended output, right? So I'm just going to change the problem. We're just going to change our design to make a differential output, which is useful. It actually turns out, if you use differential signaling, you'll get a 3 dB improvement in signal-to-noise ratio, okay? And so it's better to use differential signaling as far as specs go. It's worse as far as bill of materials go, because you got twice as much stuff generally, okay? Usually. I mean, if you do a filter, you've got, two inductors and a capacitor going across, or two capacitors to ground instead of, one. Just one, right? So it doubles your stuff. but But it gives you 3 dB better signal-to-noise ratio, which is important in many cases, especially, you know, like analog-to-digital converters and stuff like that. So I'm going to call this guy right here Vout, and I'm going to make this RD, so now it's completely symmetrical. So I'll just put my drain down here, put an RD here, right? And Vout will now be across here.
Are there op amps that work like that?
Yeah.
Well, we haven't used them.
Yeah, we haven't used them. But you can find differential. In fact,
I thought I had this.
Oh, man, I'm just trying to think. You can use two of the kinds we have to make a differential output. Remember in our first lab, we had, you know, the first stage.
Yeah.
You had two inputs and two outputs, right? So you can do that with single-ended op-amps, and so they're probably more common than these the differential ones, but there are differential op-amps you can buy, and it's an advantage to use them. So if we got a thing like this, this makes it totally symmetrical, but I didn't really have to have this symmetry because the VGS was symmetrical, and this part up here was uncoupled from that. In other words, if I made VGS zero, you know, it didn't matter what was up here and whatnot, you know, that's totally, you know, kind of on the other part of the circuit. But this makes it perfectly symmetrical. So what I'd like to do is think about the common mode thing. Okay, so if I just do the common mode, I could just do, say, the left half here, if you want, you know? I could make this, this is gate, source, GM, VGS, and this guy will be VI common mode, okay? Because we're doing the common mode one, right? VI common mode, which is, what is VI common mode? Well, it's V plus plus V minus over 2, right? This is, this guy right here is VI common mode, and this guy right here is VI differential, okay? So if I do that, this goes to ground now, this is RD, and right out here, this is between there. If we kind of look at it here, since everything is going up and down symmetrically here, how much current is going back and forth, like this direction, and how much current? It seems like the voltage is going up. Everything's flat here, right? So if we were to like just snip that wire there, and then we took this thing right here and sawed right down the middle of that resistor right there, right? All the way down to ground, okay? Now if we sawed that resistor right down the middle, you know, here's your resistor, I'm just sawing it right down the middle like this, what happens to the resistor? The resistance? It's going to be bigger, right? Because the resistance is L over sigma A, right? The L is still the same, but the area got cut in half, right? So this will be, this is going to go to, you know, this is going to be 2RN. And you can kind of think about this. If I took this same thing and popped it over here, right, and connected it back up, I'd have 2RN parallel 2RN, which would give me the RN I've got over there, right? Does that make sense? Okay. And if I put a ground right here, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with this differential thing right here. I'm kind of sawing it right in half here, right? And if I just do this, it's kind of like, you know, if I put a ground here in the middle here, and, well, I don't know whether ground is the right thing to use here. This voltage right here, both of them are going up and down simultaneously, right? So this is really V out common mode right here, right? Between here and wherever, right?
Between there and ground, I mean.
Because, you know, actually, Is it between there and ground? It's like, hello. Yeah, I mean, we've got two things that are making the common mode zero here now. One of them is this R Norton down here. If that was infinity, that would make the common mode zero. But the thing up here is making the common mode zero is I get the same RD, right? And so on, right? So it's really going to be zero because, well, we like it, yeah. But it's like, because we're taking it between here and there, right?
Okay.
So, maybe if I do this, this is really going to be zero here, 0 volts. I mean, the common mode is going to be zero because of the symmetry here. No matter what you do, this is all symmetrical, so V out is going to be zero, right? I mean, so we could say, without even drawing it, maybe I should say with differential output, V out differential, which is really what this is, V out differential, is equal to zero, equals zero. But if we looked at the V out common mode, that would be from here to here. That's V out CM is right there, right? If we did, but V out common mode won't be. So V out common mode, is just from here to here, V out common mode. And if we didn't have, if this was a wire over here, right, then that V out common mode would be V out, right? And so I'll just say it's shown. And if with single ended output, V out common mode equals V out equals V out if we just had a single ended output, right? It's just like if this guy was zero and we're just looking at this, right? So let's look at this thing here and try and see what our common mode gain would be in that case, okay? Because we can see that V out differential common mode gain is already zero, right? So, and the input is input impedance, you can always just see by inspections infinity here, right? So if we solve for V out common mode, V out common mode is equal to minus GM VGS, right? And this is VGS, this is the common mode VGS, I'll just call it VGS, and it's going to be times RD, right? It's basically, I want the current going that way through RD, which is minus GM VGS, right?
Yes.
And this is VGS right here, VGS right here, plus minus. Okay, so let's do a little loop around here. Maybe I write this like this. Here's a VICM. It makes it easier to see. VICM. So I'll start here. I'm going to say minus VICM right here plus VGS plus GM VGS times 2R Norton, not 2N, 2R Norton.
Are you
what? Equals 0. I'm just doing a loop around here, because I've got to get VGS up here for this expression here, right?
Yeah.
To get VGS, I can do a loop equation around there, right? Okay, so I'm going to solve that for VGS. So that implies, okay, VGS times I'm going to have 1 plus GM, or 2 times 2 R Norton.
Equals
VICM. So, VGS equals VICM divided by 1 plus, oops, that doesn't look too good, equals 1 plus 2 GM RN, right? Is that right? That looks good. So now we plug that back in here, and you get V out equals minus GM RD over 1 plus 2 GM RN times VICM, right? Does that make sense? Now, if this is V out CM. Now, if RN was infinity, we get zero, right? Okay. So we'd really like this gain to go to zero. So if RN goes to infinity, V out CM equals zero. This is for single-ended. CINGLE. This up here, we already got a zero for the differential, right? Okay, so now let's analyze this thing on the differential side, okay? So that means when I make V plus go up, V minus goes down the same amount, right? Okay, so if you look at the symmetry on this thing right here, if V plus is going up and V minus is going down the same amount, I need to split this circuit in half in a similar way that I split it in half over there. And so it seems to me if I do that, this place in the middle right here is going to be ground because, you know, what it's tilting around that, right? And also this place right here would be ground, right? Because, you know, one side goes up the same amount, the other one goes down, right? Okay, so now we'll do the differential mode. So here's the gate. I guess it boils down to this, huh? So this would be VID over 2, right? Because the differential is V plus minus V minus, right? So if V plus goes up and V minus goes down, right, then this is half, right?
This is absolute value.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, VID. I'm going to say VID is V plus minus V minus. So I'm doing the left-hand side kind of. Well, except I actually put the right-hand side resistor in there, right? So it's actually, yeah. Maybe I should make this minus VID over 2 and this being V out right here. And I probably should have done the same thing over here too, make this the output, right? If it's the output side, then that would have made this minus VICM, so it makes that plus, makes this a minus, and makes this a plus. Okay. Okay, so if it's going to be minus, because I'm using the right-hand side here, because it's got that RE in it. And so V out, just like we did before, is minus GM RD times VGS, right? And VGS equals VID right here, or minus VID over 2, right? So this equals minus GM RD, and VGS is minus VID over 2. And so that means V out equals GM RD over 2 times VID. So the gain here is GM RD over 2. And you can see it didn't really matter what R Norton was. It doesn't play any role at all in the differential gain. So R Norton's a whole sole purpose, making it big, is to make the common mode gain 0. So if you don't care about what the common mode gain is, you could put any old resistor in there and just bias it with a resistor. And of course, if you're trying to be really cheap and just do it with the resistors, you can. You know, you could just use a resistor and have 2ID here, 0, and you know, bias it with that resistor. Okay, so now we've come up with this thing. We're trying to meet these specs. We better quickly do this. RID is met, so we can check this off, right? AD, well, we need the differential gain. If I do a double-ended output here, the output is actually twice as big, right? Because I get this one plus that one, right? The output is differential, right? So I would get for double-ended, this is single-ended right here. V out equals GM RD VID for differential output. Okay, so we got that. So we need to make GM RD equal to 10. We had RD is the output resistance, right? R out differential. And so that's going to be 10K, say. And it equals 10K, so I got 10K right there. So that means if we're going to use a differential output like we've got up there, that means GM times 10K must equal 10, right? So that means GM is 1 milli, right? Implies GM equals 1 milli mo. Millisiemen, that's not a very good ohm, upside down ohm. 1 milli mo. Okay, so quickly, got hardly any time here. Can somebody look up like a 2N7002 or something? AP dummy. Here. 2N7002. Looks like we got to turn this guy on. Okay, where's my mouse here? N7002. Is it even working? Anyway, we got a 2N7002 here. Let's see, I need to find the well, we may need to finish this next time. It looks like we got to find, we're going to have this plot. We're going to have a plot like this. Or this is VGS, right? It's going to go like this, right? This is going to be VTO. And this is going to be ID. And we're gonna bias it here with a current source, roughly, right? And so this is gonna be capital I sub capital D, and the slope right here, the slope has to be GM, right? That needs to be, which equals 1 millimo. And so we'll have to go to the data sheet and find this ID, right? This curve ID, and that's given by, remember, ID equals K times VGS minus VTO squared. And so we got to find the K and the VTO from the data sheet, right? And then we can take the derivative of that and, right, yeah. So that's what we have left to do, but we still, that will give us the ID we need. We've already got the RD, right? Or actually, if you want differential output resistance, did we say differential output resistance? If we're doing, I just said R out, but I could do, if I did R out D, then, you know, this would be 5K and that would be 5K, right? And so then I would be back to R out D is this. But this thing was not RID, this was half of RID, right? So I really should be using this thing up here. So we'll use RD over 2 because, you see, you've got one on one side and one on the other. The output resistance is like, I don't know, if this is RD, right? Well, I don't know. I guess I'd just say RD because I called this part RD right here, right? But the output differential output resistance is really 2RD, right? 2RD is 2 times 10K, so this would be 20K, right? So this would be 2 millimoles because I've got this one plus that one, right? If I measure my ohmmeter across here, I get 2RDs, right? Okay, so next day we'll finish that off, and then we'll look at... I guess if you want that that clever circuit, you'll have to ask me in lab or ask me this afternoon or something, the one that lowers your output offset voltage. It's just a common, a PNP, common emitter amplifier with a emitter resistor in there. It's on It's on page 472. So I could just see page 472 for output offset adjustment. And the transistor that's doing it is Q5. CQ5. Oh, anyway. Have a good day. And see you next day.